Gracious, almighty, loving Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege, Lord, now for the second time in this day to be here in thine house and to have thy word before us. And know, Lord, that thy presence is here among us, for we ask of thy presence, and thy word doth promise that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, Lord, that thou wilt be among us. And so we give thee thanks for thy promises that are written in thy word, and thanks, Lord, for thy faithfulness and thy goodness toward us. Lord, we pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. It's important that at all times of our lives that we maintain a teachable attitude in our hearts, that we would be receptive to learn what God would have us to learn. And truly that's a different thing at a different time of our lives. But what's important is that we would always maintain a posture or disposition where we would be willing to learn willing to learn, to be teachable by what God would have us to know. We can learn in many ways. We can learn of the truth of life, of what God would have for us through various means. We can learn from children. We can learn how, through their innocence and through their teachableness, how we might be. And so that is one avenue that we can learn, is learning from children. Another place that we can learn about God and his greatness is through the power of nature and through the beauty of nature. As we behold it, the great things and the small things and how they all interact and what God is what is doing and through his creation, that we can learn through that. And then we learn through different circumstances of life that happen to us or to others. We do well when we learn even from others things that have transpired and impacted them and how the response was to that circumstance that impacted them in their lives, as well as to ourselves. We learn through all these different ways, but ultimately we learn through God's Word. And we look to his Word to teach us truth, even as we heard this morning hour about Jesus Christ being the truth. And so we look to God's Word ultimately to learn, and we allow ourselves to be teachable at all times of our lives, that the Word of God would mold us and make us to be in the image that Jesus that we would have, that the Lord would have us to be. The New Testament says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not by a man, but by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. It has value. It enhances our life. It's given for our benefit. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching of God's righteousness and of his ways, for reproof and for correction, even as we've prayed together, that God would use that in our lives as well to make us more and more into the image that he would have us to be, of his image. So it's for reproof and for correction, and it's for instruction in righteousness. This is what God's word is for. It's for instruction in righteousness, not man's righteousness, not some other level that some forefather deemed was an acceptable or a good level of righteousness. No, but God's righteousness. And we learn that from his word. And so all inspiration is given that we might be taught and that we would receive this and be teachable in all aspects of our lives and in all times of our lives. There's never a time in our lives, no matter how old we become, that we have learned all that we need to learn. But we are still being taught, even in old age. And there is no level of understanding that we can obtain to where we might say that we don't need to learn anything more. But we are constantly growing, and we are constantly learning, and we are constantly being molded by the Word of God as we look to his Word. And so it's important. It's very important that we maintain a teachable heart throughout our lives, and that we would not refuse what God would have for us. There are examples in the Bible that speak of those who were not teachable and those that were teachable. Those in the Bible that speaks of that were not teachable, one was Pharaoh. When the children of Israel were being asked to go into the wilderness that they might worship their creator, Pharaoh refused. And he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" That was a completely unteachable heart. There was no way that Pharaoh was going to be taught when he spoke as such, that "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" There's other examples in the Bible of those who would refuse to be taught, refuse to yield themselves to the Lord and to his wisdom. Stephen, as he's making his defense before the council, and he's telling them of the history of Israel, and after he completes with the history of Israel, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." They were stiff-necked. They were not going to be told what to do. They were not going to be taught. They were stiff-necked, and they were uncircumcised in their hearts and in their ears. They would not hear, and they would not listen. And so we see examples in the Bible of those that would not be teachable, those whose hearts were hardened, and who would not yield themselves to the Lord. And then we see those who did. Jesus taught us that except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We are to be childlike, not childish, childlike, receiving teaching, receiving the truth, questioning, to get a better understanding. So Jesus is telling us that we should become as little children. The teacher, disciples, after they observed their master praying, they also asked, "Teach us to pray." They had a heart that was willing to learn. They had a heart that was willing to be taught by the greatest master. And so they were saying, "Teach us to pray." There was also a time during the Acts of the Apostles where there was the Ethiopian eunuch who was making his way and down by Gaza, and he was in his chariot, and the Spirit told Philip to go join himself to that chariot. And so Philip runs there, and Philip asks him, "Understandest thou what thou readest? Are you learning? Are you being taught by what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I except some man guide me?" He had a teachable heart. We have examples here in the Word of God that they were teachable. The disciples were teachable. This eunuch was teachable. And then further in the Acts of the Apostles, Saul is making his way down to Damascus, and he wants to persecute the church there, and he runs into the Lord in the shining light. And the Lord says, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he's trembling and astonished, and he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Saul went from one who knew it all, and he had all his credentials, and he had pride at that time. But then when he sees the blinding light of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets to have that teachable spirit, and he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do?" And so may it be that throughout our lives, we would always have a teachable spirit, that we would not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but that we would have a teachable spirit, that we could be taught, that we could continue to learn, that we don't have all the answers, that we can grow, and that we find this growth in the Word of God. And so when we read Proverbs, such as we did this afternoon, we find a lot of instruction here. And this instruction ought to be received. It ought to be receptive into our hearts, that we would gladly know that this is for our good and this brings about life. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so we see in Proverbs that if we are sowing one thing, we reap that. If we are sowing the other thing, the good thing, we reap that as well. And so we see that truth come forth in Proverbs often. Here in the first verse it says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." To hear instruction is a wise son, is a wise child. To hear instruction and to receive it. And there's a great blessing in that. And it's never that we can, when we get to a point in life where we do not receive instruction anymore, we continuously receive instruction of the truth. But a scorner will not hear rebuke. A scorner will not receive any instruction. but will refuse it, and to his detriment. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. There is this sowing and reaping effect here. If a man speaks well, he will receive good. He will eat good of that which he has spoken. But the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. There is that truth played out here, that be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Keeping our mouth, a challenge always it is, that we don't say things that would be inappropriate or not pleasing to the Lord. And so James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, those of you who I care so much for, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and swift to hear, willing to hear, not quick to say something, not quick to express something, not quick to show that we know something, but swift to hear. This is instruction, and this is truth, and we need this truth throughout our lives. And it doesn't matter our age, we need this truth. If we keep our mouth, we keep our life. Again, that reaping and sowing effect, sowing and reaping. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Those who labor and are give of themselves and are willing to be used by the Lord, they will have abundance. They will have abundance, but not so for the sluggard. The sluggard wants things, but he has nothing. So again, these truths that we can receive from God's word and know that this inspiration is of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. The righteous man, he hateth lying. Again, this morning we were instructed that we should hate those things which God hates. And God hates when lies are spoken. And so a righteous man also hates it. A righteous man hates lying, that which is not truth. When Jesus Christ is truth, then the opposite is of the devil. And so a righteous man hates that which is not true. Hates lying. But a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Loathsome means repulsive. Loathsome means we don't want a part of that. And that's what an unrighteous man is. A wicked man. He's loathsome. He's one who doesn't want, no one wants to be around such a one, and they come to shame. They come to shame. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. Proverbs speaks much of wealth and poverty. But if we look at it in spiritual terms, it brings a new light to it. So the ransom of a man's life are his riches. The liberty that a man may have in his spiritual life, that he does good, and he pleases the Lord, and he yields himself to the Lord. It brings out a liberty, a ransom, when we have these spiritual riches that are in the Lord. But the poor, those who are spiritually bankrupt, they will not hear rebuke. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. The only way there's going to be contention is when there's pride. That's the only thing that's going to drive contention. If we take pride out of the picture, there is no contention. And so the proverb speaks much of pride and its destruction and how it will ruin lives. And Jesus says that he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. James speaks of issues of contention. He speaks here in chapter 4, "From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members, the pride of life? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and have not because ye ask not." This is where contention is coming from. "Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Again, we heard that this morning. We can ask of the Lord and he will provide when we ask in his name. But if we're asking that we might consume it upon our lust, that's not asking in Jesus' name. And so he says further, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever therefore is a friend of the world will be an enemy of God." Contention comes here. And this is where it speaks of, because there's pride in a life. There's another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a chapter that we had not too long ago, that speaks of contention and how that's not a part of God's order and in God's ways. "But if a man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." In God's church, in God's house, there isn't contention. And as we read in Proverbs, the only reason there would be contention is because there's pride. And God hates pride. And if God hates pride, we ought also to hate pride. So again, Proverbs speaks much of wisdom and pride. Going back to chapter 8 of Proverbs, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." This is the fear of the Lord. It's to hate evil, that which is evil. And here's evil: pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. These are the things that God hates and we ought to hate as well. There could be no pride in our hearts. Who are we? Who are we that we might exalt ourselves? We are dust, and to dust we shall return. Anything we have is from the Lord. And so we are not to be arrogant. We are not to follow in the evil way. And we are not to have a froward mouth. What ought to come out of our mouth is that which would glorify the Lord and would edify the believer and would draw a sinner to seek the Lord. That's what should come out of our mouth. "Counsel is mine," speaking of wisdom, "counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength." This is what comes from wisdom. With the well-advised is wisdom. Let's be well-advised. Let's have wisdom reigning in our hearts. Let's look to God's word that he would instruct us in his ways and that we would see the great, great danger of pride and arrogancy and shun that and find the wisdom that is recorded in his word. "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and have strength." And then further in that Proverbs 8, it says, "Whoso findeth wisdom, findeth life." Remember this morning? Jesus says, "I came to give life. I live and I come to give life. Whoso findeth wisdom, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." We don't find favor of the Lord when our mouth is going off and we have pride and arrogancy in our hearts. We don't find favor with the Lord. And quite soon enough, we're not going to find favor with man either. I'd like to go to one more verse in the New Testament, James chapter 3, I believe it is. Whoso is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let's ponder that for a moment. Who's a wise man endued with knowledge among us? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let the work show, and show that with meekness of wisdom. With meekness of wisdom. That's a man that is endued with knowledge and is wise, where he can show forth wisdom with the power of meekness. And so with the well-advised is wisdom. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. If we despise God's word, we will be destroyed. The Bible says so. And this is instruction for us. And other places in Proverbs, it says that they'll be destroyed, and that without remedy. Like, there'll be no ability to fix it. Just think of like a dinner plate, and you throw it on the ground, and it's destroyed. It's shards of glass everywhere. It's without remedy. There's no fixing that. And if we refuse God's word, that's how it will be for us. We will be destroyed, and that without remedy. It says, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Ecclesiastes sums up the duty of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is what it comes down to. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It's not complex. It's not difficult. It's a yielding to him. And so he says, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. We will be rewarded when we fear God and keep his commandments. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. A faithful ambassador, one who represents the organization he comes from, he says, is health, is spiritual health. And when we represent Jesus Christ as we should, as we are his ambassadors and are representing Jesus Christ in his truth and pointing the way of Jesus Christ because he is the way, then all things go well. A faithful ambassador is health. He is performing his duties with fidelity, with good fidelity, with being responsible to the responsibilities, being faithful to the responsibilities that have been entrusted unto him. And things go well when we do our part, when we are faithful ambassadors, and there's health in the organization, in the body of Christ, when each are doing their part. It says, but a wicked messenger falleth into mischief. When there's a messenger that comes and brings out a different message than the message that was intended to be brought forth, it makes a mess. It makes a mess. And there's a lot of repair work that needs to be done when that message, that wrong message, is broadcast. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Again, thinking in spiritual terms. There is spiritual poverty and spiritual shame to him that refuses instruction. Who, when Jesus Christ says, come follow me, and we refuse. We refuse. There is spiritual bankruptcy then. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. When we are corrected in our way, when we are going in a way, and we need corrected in our way, and we make that correction, the Bible says that we will be honored. Then here in verse number 20, it says, he that walketh with the wise, with wise men, shall be wise. But he that is a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Again, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we are with those who are wise, we will reap that. we will reap that. And there will be a great blessing. And we will grow in wisdom. And we will grow in strength. And our spirituality will increase. But if we become companions with fools, we will become spiritually bankrupt. And so the question is, let's bring it to a practical level of everyday life. When we watch something on YouTube or a movie, we are becoming a companion of that which we are watching. So if it's foolishness, what we're watching on YouTube or on a movie, then we're being companions with that foolishness. If we're reading books that have no place for a believer, then we are being companions with that foolishness. But here it says, but whoso walketh with wise men shall be wise. If we have fellowship with the believers, and we're encouraging each other, and we're speaking of the things that are written in God's word, and reminding ourselves anew of God's faithfulness and of his goodness toward us, and that he has placed his Holy Spirit in us, then we will continue and grow in stature with the Lord. Are we teachable? Are we allowing God's word to teach us? Are we allowing God in ways that he deems best to teach us? Are we allowing him to teach us? Whether it is through a little child, or whether it is through the power of nature, or whether it is a believer who comes to lovingly admonish us and correct us in a way that would be good, where we have perhaps erred from our ways. We do not have the word conform to us. We conform to the word. He is the potter. We are the clay. We conform to him. We allow him to work in us and mold us and make us as he would have us to be. That we can have the mind of Christ. That we can be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we could do his will. That we would be taught in his ways, and that we would, as a child, readily accept that which is being given to us in terms of instruction. So we are to hate pride. We are to watch our mouth. We are to be diligent in our ways. We are to walk with wise men. We are to please him well. And then the greatest teacher of all, Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, "Learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Amen.